scripture reading is taken from John 8, 1 through 4. John 8, 1 through 4. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act."
Good evening.
In Jesus, and by intense I mean they go backward and forward, and sometimes the Jews hurl insults at our Lord as they discuss. It opens here in John chapter 8 with this woman taken in adultery. The Bible says in the very act. This first issue then that they discuss with Jesus is one of sin and the confrontation about it. Jesus is going to refer to himself as light. As we said this morning, the things that Jesus says he is, you and I cannot live without. Try as you might to live without bread and see how long it gets you. You need food, but not for your physical man. You need it for your spiritual man. Well, the same is true of light. Can you imagine a world without light? Can you imagine the darkness? In fact, it was in Genesis 1 where God said, "Let there be light," and the darkness scattered. And you and I have been thankful to the God of heaven for the sun that rules the day and the moon that rules the night. Genesis 1 tells us he made the stars also. The illumination, the benefit of light, is really unparalleled. Even in this country, not many years ago, if you really think about it, we operated by candlelight. Largely the world did. There was no kerosene. It had to be invented. And these things began to help illuminate. I remember watching The Men Who Built America. Did anybody see that? They talked about the invention of electricity and the invention of light and the first home lit. And you and I take it for granted now, but the benefit, the blessings of light, to appreciate it, all you have to do is have a power outage. Our last speaker here said they were without power 9 days. Can you imagine it? 9 days with no power. Darkness. The benefits to light. Now, as you contemplate how good it is to have light physically, think about your soul. Think about spiritual life and light. Jesus is going to say in this chapter, "I am the light of the world." Let's begin in this first section, John chapter 8, this intense discussion. The woman taken in adultery, verse number 4, says, in the very act. Several observations we want to make with regards to these things. The first is this. Why the Bible tells us this, I'm not exactly sure, but it says in verse 2, this was early in the morning. It almost gives the impression that the Pharisees were early about their business of trying to disrupt the Savior's life. How do you even find a woman committing adultery early in the morning to bring her to Jesus? And yet, they have managed it. Early in the morning, he's in the temple teaching, and yet they bring to him a woman taken in adultery. Verse number 3 says they brought her to him. Why? Why would they bring her to Jesus? What is it about Jesus that makes them think it's a good idea to take the woman to the Savior? Because in verse number 4 or verse number 5, they say this. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Question. What does it matter? If you're a Jew living under the law, and someone has broken the law, and the law said take this action, what should you do? You see, you began to kind of appreciate that these people here are not really about law keeping. This is not really about what the law says because they know it. Leviticus 20 and verse number 10 makes it abundantly clear that if someone commits adultery, they're to be stoned. Well, they say in verse number 5, we know what Moses commanded, and then they say, but what sayest thou? Thankfully, verse number 6 gives us their heart revealed. Of course, our Lord would have known this. But the Bible says, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. That's what it's about. And nobody knows that better than our Lord. Jesus stooped down, wrote upon the ground, as if not to really hear or maybe even to ignore them. But they persisted. They continue with their interrogation. Verse number 7 says they continued asking him. And so the Lord responded. He lifted himself up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, the Bible says in verse number 9, they were convicted. They knew that they were not right in what they were doing. Their conscience has convicted them, and they went away one by one. Now, some people read this passage and say, aha, see, right there is why no man can judge. Because who is without sin? You throw the first stone. That's not what our Lord, that's not the Lord's point. The Lord's point is not that they are without sin or they shouldn't throw a stone at her. In fact, the law demanded it. That if you were taken in adultery, the law said stone. That was the law. But the law said more with regards to being a witness to someone being stoned. Have your Bibles. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 19. And I'm inclined to believe that this is much more what convicted them than their not having any sin. Well, that's not the problem at all. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, beginning in verse number 16. Moses wrote, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witnesses be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, I don't feel a microphone anywhere on my person. So I'm guessing that's what all the noise is. Well, that's right. You all are hearing this static, aren't you? It's bothersome, isn't it? Yep, bothersome to me too. You know, when Jason comes down to see you, it's not perfect. I wish y'all could see Richard up there training it down. We good now? Jason came down and gave Richard that official look. You better get this together. Where were we? John chapter 8. Oh, Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 19. We were in Deuteronomy 19 about verse number 19. The judges shall make inquisition, diligent inquisition, toward this false witness. Verse 19 says, then shall they do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put evil from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any evil among you. And I shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. The witnesses are false witnesses, and they of all people know it. Among the many issues is, there is no man here. And if there was a woman taken in adultery, she wasn't in it by herself. And so if you are going to keep the law, bring the man. But they don't have a man, because verse number 6 says, this they did, tempting him. And so our Lord says, go ahead and stone her. But they knew, if we do that falsely, we go down there to the judges, and we are found out, we get stoned. Well, you can imagine the Lord's correction and counsel toward these people, that this did not set up this conversation to continue going well. They are now not very happy with him at all.
Before he addresses them, he addresses the woman. That's down in verse number 10 and 11. The Lord lifted up himself and saw none. He asked the woman, "Where are this those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." To which our Lord said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And then he added this counsel, "Go and sin no more." Beginning in verse number 12, the Lord makes this claim. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." As we go through this material in the book of John, and as we look at these I ams, the point every time will be simply this: for you to take the physical concept, bread, light, grab hold of every benefit you can to the substance, and then apply that to your spiritual life. Because whatever bread does, Jesus says, "I'm that." Whatever light benefits you, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I illuminate the world. By my illumination, I give direction. You will never walk in darkness. By my light, you have security. You will never stumble. You will, in fact, have the light of life." You began then with the Pharisees' response in verse number 13 and the Lord's answer and correction. That's what follows. They immediately say in verse number 13, "You testify of yourself, therefore your witness cannot be true." So from verse 14 to verse 18, Jesus corrects them and he says, "No, you judge after the flesh." Verse number 15, "I judge no man. And yet if I did judge," verse 16, "it would be true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that is with me." You'll recall we read this morning John 5, 17 and 18, John 10, 30 and 31. He and the Father are one. Jesus says, "No, there's two. I'm not alone bearing witness." Verse 18 says, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." What follows next is the points of difference between them and Christ, the way they see the world and the way he does. His approach and where he comes from versus theirs. Beginning in verse number 19, they began to discuss some of these points of differences. They said unto him, "Where is thy Father?" You remember this morning when we looked at John chapter 6, they said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Don't we know him?" Here they ask, "Where is your Father then?" The Lord's answer is this: "Ye neither know him, know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have also known my Father." These words spake Jesus, verse 20 tells us. And then Jesus says he is going back to his Father. Verse 21, "I go my way. You will seek me. You will not find me." In fact, he says, "You will die in your sins, and where I go, ye cannot come." You can see the perplexity in the Jews' minds in verse 22. They ask, "Will he kill himself? Will he go among the dispersed? Where will he go that we can't find him?" Note the Lord's response in verse 23. It continues throughout the book. "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins." That's twice in the last three or four verses. Jesus says, "Ye will die in your sins." Why will they do that? If you believe not that I am, you'll notice if you have a King James Bible, the "he" is in italics. Jesus does not say, "If you believe not that I am he." That's not what it says. Consistent with John's point of emphasis throughout the book and the claims of the Lord, Jesus simply says this: "If you believe not that I am, you will die in your sins, and where I am, ye cannot come." It is the gauntlet, it is the test, it is everything. It drops here. If you don't believe that this is the divine Son of God, if you don't believe Matthew, this is God with us. John, he is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. This is the claim. If you don't believe that I am, the I am of Exodus 3, I am. I and my Father are one. Philip, have I been so long time with you? Have you not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? John 14. This is the claim. If you don't believe that I am, here's the option. You will die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. Why will you die in your sins? Well, as we talked this morning, you have no bread for your soul. Why will you die in your sins? Well, you will walk in darkness because he's the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father. When you have lifted up the Son, he says, then you will know. Verse number 28. Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am. That I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. They were actually going to help the Christ cause and the Father's will be accomplished by sending him to the cross. They were actually going to lift him up. They were going to aid in that. And by their actions, they were going to send him back to heaven. And Jesus says, then you'll know that I am. He that has sent me, verse number 29, you will know that the Father has approved of me. In fact, that's exactly how Peter preaches Acts chapter 2. Ye men of Galilee, ye men of Israel, hear these words, he says. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man approved among you by God. You will know. Well, by then, he's gone back to heaven. Acts 1, 9 through 11, he ascends. Acts 2, they preach Jesus as sitting at the right hand of God. Then you'll know. Their very actions are going to help the Father's cause and the Lord's will be done. And that Jesus is then going to be seen and they will know that he is the Son of God. Jesus, again, doesn't mince words about the claims. The next thing he approaches and says is that his words are the truth. His words. Verse number 30 beginning. As he spake these words, many believed on him. What did they believe? They believed that he is the I am. That's what they believed. And Jesus then would respond to those Jews in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If there is one thing that our Lord is very clear about, is that his words are the truth. And if his disciples, Christians today, are challenged on any point, it's this one right here. Our world is bent on trying to make sure everybody understands that nobody can know anything for sure. It's the reason our world is so against the Christ. And why you and I are constantly in peril and challenge with our peers, friends, family, co-workers, and the like. Because Jesus makes it abundantly clear from his perspective, my word is truth. It's not almost right. It's not close to right. It's not what you think. It's not how you feel. It's not live and let live. Jesus says it's the truth. Which means if it's not in his word, if it's contrary to his word, if it's the exact opposite of what he taught, if Jesus says up and you say down, you're wrong. If Jesus says this is right and you say no, 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 that's not right, this is right, you're wrong. That's Jesus' position. Now, let me ask you again, do you still believe? Friends, we come to the subject of morality and God says it's right or it's wrong, that's it. That's not almost it. Young people, listen to me. Old people, the same. That's not almost it. There aren't shades of gray to the Lord's truth. Revelation 21:8 says all liars go to hell. Now you tell God where they go instead. No, no, no. You stand up and tell God. No, 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 God. As it turns out, you can be a liar and go to heaven. No. God said liars go to hell. That's God's position. Now, is that true? It's quite amazing to me that whatever position God takes, the world takes the exact opposite and then stands firm and demand that you believe them to be right. Here's the deal, folks. You're going to believe somebody. You don't believe that God can say that homosexuality is fornication. And then the world say, no, 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 no. As it turns out, it can be marriage and a committed relationship and everybody can be happy. And then you stand in the middle and say, I'm not picking. I don't know. Well, it depends on the circumstances. There's not a verse in your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And if you include index and dictionary and the stuff beyond maps, all the way back there, there is not one word in there where God ever equivocates on this subject. Nowhere. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. You see, that's what light does. Young person goes into the kitchen, cleans it up, turns off all the light, runs out and says, the kitchen's clean, Mom. First thing Mom does. Turn on the light and start looking around the kitchen. Now, why don't you just go in there in darkness? How come you just don't trust their word and walk around the kitchen in darkness? Because light illuminates and it sets forth the truth. And from Jesus' perspective, friends, according to God's position, I am the light of the world. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Everything else that follows is one or the other. And immediately they start talking about bondage. The context is consistent. The Jews are constantly talking about physical things. Jesus is constantly talking about spiritual realities. And so they grab hold of the Lord saying, if you continue in my word, you know the truth shall make you free. They grab hold of that concept of freedom. Notice what they say beginning in verse number 33. They answer him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. So how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Note the Lord's response. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, is in bondage to sin, is a slave to sin. You can be in bondage in sin. The servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided in forever. And there's only one person who can free you from that sin. Verse 36, Jesus reiterates, if the son therefore shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. The truth of the matter is, they're not even honest and accurate physically. How can a Jew say to Jesus, we be Abraham's seed and was never in bondage? Did they not read the Exodus? What were they in Egypt if it wasn't bondage? Exodus chapter 1 says the Egyptians put them in bondage, made them to serve with rigor. The reason there is an exodus is because they were in bondage. They're wrong physically, but that's not the Lord's point. The Lord's point is you could be free physically, but you could be enslaved to sin. Let me ask you this. How are you going to get out? They have no escape without Jesus. And so they began a discussion, and this is where the discussion just heats up. It just gets more and more intense. They began to discuss fathers. They said, we be Abraham's seed. Now, just as they jumped on them being free, the Lord said, the Lord takes issue with this concept of them being Abraham's seed. On the one hand, they are physically. Verse number 37 beginning. I know that ye are Abraham's seed physically, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He continues, I speak which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. To which they respond very quickly, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, and here is where, spiritually speaking, kinship is attributed in Scripture. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Their claim to Abraham, based on their physical heritage, is lost in a spiritual relationship with God, because Abraham was a person of faith. And Abraham is referred to as the father of the faithful. And so if you're a child of Abraham, then you must live like Abraham. Saying you're his child is not sufficient. You must live like Abraham. That they were unwilling to do. In fact, Jesus says in verse number 40, "Ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth." We've read about Abraham's life. Abraham was a man of truth. When he heard the truth, he responded and did what God said. In fact, Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. James chapter 2 talks about Abraham's faith in believing God. Here God is talking to them, but they don't believe. Jesus says, if you're seeking to kill me, a man that had told you the truth. This Abraham never did. The Lord returns again back to their identity. Ye do the works of your father. Then said they to him, I said in tense, I said in saltive, here's one. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Mary was found to be with child, having not known a man. Must have got out. People must have heard it. They accused the Lord of being born of fornication. We're not the ones here. We know our Father. We're not the ones born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Our Lord takes that in stride and then responds thusly. If, verse 42, God were your father, if he were your father. You imagine saying that to a Jew? If God were your father. But he's not. Just as surely as their lives don't mirror Abraham's, thus they can't be his seed. It surely doesn't mirror God's, and thus he can't be their father. In fact, Jesus says, if God were your father, there is one thing that would follow. He says, ye would love me. Why? Because I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. To love God is to love Jesus, because Jesus is sent by God. In fact, they're one. John 10, 30 and 31. Here you want to kill me, and you claim to love God. If God were your father, you'd love me because I came from God. I don't know if our Lord got frustrated. I guess it's possible. He's certainly human, so I'm sure he could have had that emotion and feeling. He seems maybe to be that way in verse number 43 when he asks, why do you not understand my speech? There's a reason, simply because ye cannot hear my word. Another sermon many weeks ago, maybe months now, we talked about spiritual sight, spiritual hearing. Same concept, that you are a physical man, a physical being with the capacity to hear, see, and so forth. And yet the Bible attributes the same things to your spiritual man. And it is wholly possible for you to have eyes to see and see not, ears to hear and not perceive. And that's what the Lord is saying. Why do you not hear? Why can't you understand? It's because my word has no place in you. You and I might think about that sometimes in our own lives. If God's word cannot penetrate the heart, we might question the heart. If God's word is not making sense, we can't understand it. It's not sitting well. It's not sitting right. We keep disagreeing. We keep running afoul of it. Why can't you hear it? Maybe you've had that expression. Maybe you said that to somebody. I keep saying it. Why can't you hear it? Jesus says, you don't have my word. You can't hear my word. Our Lord finally draws the conclusion about who their father is. They're not acting like Abraham. They're not acting like God. But he says, I do know who your father is. Verse number 44, he identifies. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Coincidentally, how did this chapter start? These people brought a woman to be killed. And they were dishonest, tempting him. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. What did they say to Jesus? Moses said, stone her. But what do you say? So you're not interested in doing what Moses says. No, he abode not in the truth either. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You can imagine the intensity of the conversation. They referred to the Lord as being born in fornication, and the Lord refers to them as being children of the devil. Verse number 47 says, or verse number 45, 46, Jesus asked the question, which of you convinceth me of sin? You know, they didn't bring our Lord and say, you've sinned. Throughout the entire book, they're making the accusations against him for having sinned. The Lord is asking, state my sin. Which one of you convinces me of sin? It would have been radio silent, to which our Lord would have followed it with these words, if then I tell you the truth, why do you not believe? We sometimes make the mistake of believing that people's lack of belief is due to a lack of information. That can be the case for some people sometimes, but it is not the case for people all the time. These people are without information. They are not without evidence. They are not without having seen miracles. They are not without seeing a life lived flawlessly. They even state near the end, when our Lord is on the cross, and it's a bold admission, but they say this, he saved others. Stop. Really? He saved others. That's what he did? Why didn't you believe him? These people weren't interested in belief. When it comes to the subject of believing that Jesus is the divine Son of God, you and I and the world has a decision to make. The Jews then resulted to more insults. Verse number 48. They answered Jesus, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Difficult to even read our Lord being talked about in such terms, but that's how they feel. This thing has begotten so intense that they said, you're a Samaritan, you have a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. And ye do dishonor me. We get near the end of this chapter. This entire thing happened as a result of them coming to Jesus, seeking to tempt him. The Lord's response saying, I'm the light of the world. You need to come to me. If you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. He says that twice. If you don't come to me, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Friends, Jesus is right about that, or he's wrong. If he's right about that, you need to come to him. You need to believe in him. Verse number 51, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He has said this frequently, and he will continue to say it. The Jews' physical minds and unbelief continue to be a theme throughout this chapter and throughout this book. Verse 52, 53, then said the Jews unto him, now we know. We got you now. Now we know that thou hast a devil. What's their proof? Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. And you say that if a man keep your saying, he shall never taste of death. Their conditions to constantly think in physical terms is glaring and opposite of the Lord's, constantly emphasizing the spiritual. They ask in verse number 53, something the Lord has been saying since the beginning. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Yes. Are you greater than Abraham? Yes. Are you greater than the prophets? Yes. Are you greater than Moses? Yes. That's the point. He continues to say it over and over and over again. In fact, he says it again here, verse number 56. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said unto him, how in the world is that possible? Kind of sounds like Nicodemus, their question here. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? No. They ask in verse number 57, the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Listen to the Lord's ardent response in verse number 58. Truly, truly, I say unto you. We end the chapter nearly the way we began. Before Abraham was, I am. They are standing in the presence of God in a body. And the claims can't be clearer. The denominational world used to say, just believe in Jesus. Just believe in Jesus. Just believe in Jesus. And that sounds like a pretty good way of going about things until you hear Jesus' claims. Until you read Jesus' words. If you just believe in Jesus, do you know what you have to believe? Just believe in Jesus. Just believe in Jesus. Okay. Here's what you have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's what you have to believe. But guess what you've just done to a good portion of the world? You've just said to the entire, well, nearly the entire eastern part of the world, you are wrong over there to believe Islam. That's what you said. Just believe Jesus. Well, to just believe Jesus, you see, the Islamic world does not believe Jesus is the divine Son of God. They don't believe this is God in a body. They do not believe that. Just ask them. They'll tell you. Oh, we believe he was a good man. Oh, we believe he was a prophet. We believe he was one of the ones used by God, by Allah, but he's not God. Oh, no. They'll make it abundantly clear. And you want to watch denominational preachers back up in our climate today? Just believe Jesus. And so you'll be asked, do you believe Jesus is the way? Because he says he is. Just believe Jesus. Well, what about the Jews? If you just believe Jesus, you'd have to say, well, they're wrong. You still just believe Jesus? If you just believe Jesus, what about the Islamic people? Well, they're wrong. Just believe Jesus. Just believe Jesus. You'd have to believe, well, the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. You'd have to tell them that. No, this is wrong. Just believe Jesus. You'd have to believe a whole lot more than, quote, just believe Jesus. And so now, denominational preachers will look like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk when they are pressed on what Jesus says. Why can't you hear my words? My words are not in you. You can't hear them because you don't believe them. Just believe Jesus. Jesus says, I am. I am the divine Son of God. I am God with us. Matthew 1:23-25. The Word becomes flesh. I and my Father are one. I am the light of the world. Whatever benefits physical light gives, Jesus Christ and Christ alone gives that for the soul. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look back at John chapter 1 and listen to how this book opens. You probably know verses 1 through 3 very well, but just keep reading. After John says all things were made by him, notice what he says in verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That is the true light. Grab hold of verse number 9. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Christ claim is this. While the sun and the moon illuminates the day and the night and the stars, and while we've invented indoor-outdoor lights to help us and to allow us to move about freely and enjoy the blessings of light, when it comes to your spiritual soul, your journey from earth to heaven, without Christ, you're a blind man in a dark hole with no help, with no direction, and no guidance. You can't see, and darkness is around and surrounds you. And there is one who can turn on the light of your mind and then illuminate the path and then give you the directions, takes your soul from earth to glory. I am the light of the world. Every man who enters the world gets light, spiritually speaking, from Jesus Christ, or he gets none at all. Jesus Christ is the I am. If you come to me, follow me, you will never walk in darkness. And friends, if you turn off the light that is Jesus, you are blind and without hope in this world. You're not a Christian this evening. You need to be. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Twice in this chapter, he said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Friends, that's the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Friends, you need to believe him. Respond in obedience to the gospel. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess the name of Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Let Jesus save you. If you are his child, then friends, Jesus is to your soul what light is to your world. He illuminates. He warms. He benefits. He directs. He guides. He instructs. He leads. He secures. I imagine there are many a home tonight with lights on outside to ward off danger. Jesus says, I'm the light. We come into the house, we turn on the light. We can see and move about. Jesus, I am the light. Whatever he says he is, we need. And without it, friends, there is simply no hope in the world. If you're not a Christian, become one. If you are a Christian, thank God for the light and walk in it. Draw closer to God and hold on to Jesus. Never more than now, as the world ramps up their efforts to keep us away. May God bless you as we seek to follow him. Subject Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.